We're going to go in our Bibles to the second book of the Bible. The second book of the Bible. And that's the book of Exodus. Exodus. And as we think about Exodus, we should immediately think about the great Exodus that took place, right? You remember that? Do you remember that great Exodus? And it's when the nation of Israel left Egypt and they begin their journey to the promised land. And we're joining them on that journey in this lesson this afternoon. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to speak to you on this theme, stirred up to serve. Stirred up to serve. We're going to begin in Exodus chapter 35, and I'm going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 25, and then we're going to come back to Exodus chapter 35. I've learned that in these afternoon meetings, we need to keep ourselves awake, and so next week we'll be doing 10 jumping jacks in the middle of the preaching as well, but not today, okay? Exodus 35. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord had commanded, that ye should do them. Can you imagine in this day, we have our perspective, and that is, we go to the Bible. They didn't have anything yet, except for, maybe the Ten Commandments. They had those. But it was direct revelation, right? It was God speaking to Moses, speaking to the people. 6 days shall work be done. But on the seventh day, there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Isn't this interesting, this next statement? Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. It's not the message today, but ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. Verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord. Gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and, look at this one, goat's hair. Come on now. You got to run after that goat really fast, trim its hair. And ram skin dyed red. And badger skin, all right, you Wisconsin people that are out there. And shittim wood, and oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. Heavenly Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for even as we consider the putting together of the tabernacle, while we are no longer in this type of format, we're in the church age, there is much, I believe, that we can apply as we begin the message in the Old Testament, ended in the New Testament, that can be applied to what we're doing today. Holy Spirit of God, empty me of self, fill me, give me the words to say, help me not to give something that shouldn't be, but to give whatever needs to be. May the listeners today be also filled with your Spirit. Lord, I pray if there's anyone listening right now that is not saved, that you would convict them of their need of a Savior, and that even today, in this afternoon meeting, they would humble themselves and trust Christ as Savior. Father, I pray that we would take seriously our role in the local church. In Jesus' name, amen. The context of Exodus chapter number 35, as I said just a moment ago in my prayer, is the construction of the tabernacle. Now let's go back in our Bibles for a few minutes, just a few moments, to Exodus chapter 25. God gave specifically the instructions to Moses on what would be needed and that the fact that it was to be built. Exodus chapter 25. And this is a kind of a little bit of a repeat of what we just read. And you'll see that, and I'm not going to read all of it, but just a few verses. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it." What's the next word, church? Willingly. I heard you. Willingly. That's a key word. Willingly. "With his heart ye shall take my offering." And then it lists the same thing there that we heard just a moment ago. But look at verse number 8. "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." So God comes to Moses, and he tells Moses, I've got a message for you, and I want you to take this message, and I want you to deliver it to the people. And I want you to build this sanctuary for me. Again, this is not, I'm not saying that that we replace the Jew and so forth. That's not what this is about. What I'm doing is, for me, God really spoke to my heart this week in some of my Bible reading in regards to this particular instance, and then we're going to put it into the context of the church here in just a little bit. So let's now go back to Exodus chapter 35, and God has given Moses, explained to Moses, and now Moses is going to the people. I want you to see with me, we're just going to skim through chapter 35 quickly and keep on moving, all right? So stay with me. In verses 1 and 4, something stands out to me, and that is the fact that all the congregation was brought together. It was not just the leadership. It was not just the men. It was not just the women. It was not just the older group, the more mature group. He said, bring in all the congregation. We see that in verse number 1 and in verse number 4. In verse number 5, something that stands out to me, we read it a moment ago, is that the offering, and again, they're collecting money, they're collecting goods for the construction of the tabernacle, right? But notice what he says in verse 5, "Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord." And then he lists out all the different things that could be brought in that offering. Notice the willing heart. I've written this down. God can cause the resources to appear any way he wants to. Think about it today. This isn't just in Israel. This is in 2021. God can, you know, we can walk down these stairs at the end of the service today and go out to our cars and find a pile of gold blocks sitting there. If God wanted to do that. That hasn't happened yet, but if God wanted to do that, he could do that. But I don't think that's the way God's going to work necessarily. Now, if you've got gold blocks and you were planning on bringing them today, please go ahead. I don't want to ruin your, I don't want to take, rob God's blessing of your life of giving gold blocks. The point is this, God can do it however he wants. God can make it happen. He made it happen every day, 6 days a week for the nation of Israel, didn't he? Remember? This stuff flew out of the sky, and they ate it every day. And on the sixth day, they took in double for the seventh day. That's an unusual way, right? But God did it that way. God provided. And then, you know, they were grumbling and complaining, and God went ahead and sent in He sent in quail in V formation, you know, and they just dive bombed down and they had their meat. That's an unusual thing. I've never had ducks flying into my backyard where I live in Coquitlam, getting, you know, maybe they were going into Lafarge Lake and they missed their target and landed in my backyard and just died right there for me to eat them. And that doesn't happen. But God could do that. I'm saying God does miraculous things. But God also, mostly though, what we see is God chooses to take his unlimited resources, stay with me now, not just money, but God's unlimited resources, and he gives them to me. And then he says, okay, Ben, I love a cheerful giver. Why don't you give back to me? Why don't you be a conduit of my blessings? And by the way, this is not a message on giving of finances. Don't think that for a minute. We'll have one of those another time, all right? But that it does appear that that's what it is. The point is that there was a willing heart. God could have said, Moses, I've got all of it over here. And you know what? God had provided. Remember, God had provided. You say, where did they get the gold? Where did they get the silver? You know where they got it from? Egypt. They spoiled the Egyptians. Okay? That doesn't mean they gave them too much candy and they got spoiled because of it. Okay? No, that means they took, God said, take whatever you need. And I believe that this is the spoil that they took. And so it wasn't it was God giving to them, them giving back to God. Remember, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything you have, everything I have, it doesn't mean just my wealth. It means my abilities as well. God gave them to me. Not for me just to gain wealth. Not for me just to have a job. Hey, God's given some of you an analytical mind. Some not. Don't have that. Yes, you worked hard. Yes, you graduated from university. Yes, you work hard. Yes, you've done your part of it. But you don't have, none of us have diddly without it coming from God. So God gave it to me, not just for me to keep and hoard and use it and use it and use it. He gave it to me to give back to him. The more I love God, the more willing I am to do what he tells me. John 14:15. If you know it, say it with me. Ready? If you love me, hold it. Let's say it again. If you love me, what's it say? Keep my commandments. That means if I'm not keeping God's commandments, guess what? I don't love him enough. Because he said, if you do love me, you will keep my commandments. The more that I love God, the more willing I am to do whatever he tells me to do. Okay, let's move along. Skip down to verse 21. Verse 21 of chapter 35. Let's read verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So can you picture this? From verses 3 or 4, what was it? From verse 4 all the way to verse 19, it's just been this one long speech from Moses, okay? Kind of like a sermon, right? They got the sermon for that day. And now the Bible says they're going to leave. And so they leave the meeting with Moses. And verse 21, and they came. And they came. They came where? They came back. Everyone whose, check this out, heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made him what? Willing. Stirred up heart and a willing spirit. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. This was not a coerced offering. This was not an arm-twisting offering. This was, here's what we need. The people go back to their tents, they go back to their dwelling places, and then they come back to Moses. And they come back with all sorts of things that Moses has asked them to bring. Why are they coming back? Why are they doing it? Because their heart was stirred by the request, not of Moses, but by the request of God Almighty through Moses to the people. Their heart was stirred up, and their spirit was willing to give in this offering. Now, they needed leadership, though. They needed leadership. Who's the leader? Moses. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. So it's not that they didn't need somebody leading them in their willingness. Yes, they needed someone to lead them, to deliver the message from God, and then the willingness came alongside of that. So in verse 22, as well, we see, notice something about what we see in verse 22. And they came, both men and what? Women. Both men and women. So this job or this responsibility and all the congregation of the children of Israel was not just for one, the men or for the women. Obviously, it wasn't just for that. It was for both. Both of them were participating in it. Notice, as many as were willing-hearted. I hope you're following me. Verse 26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. That's got to be the neatest thing. They spun the goat's hair, and we're sewing and things of this nature. Verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering, a willing offering unto the Lord. Notice, every man and woman. Would you really highlight that word, every? Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Verse 29. I just read that. Sorry. Chapter 36, verse 2. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And what do you find here? Several things I find here, other than what I've mentioned, and about this interesting passage of Scripture in preparation for building the tabernacle. The people did not all bring the same offering. Some brought gold. Some brought goat's hair. As far as I know, unless I'm missing something, one of them has more value than the other. But that's not what was emphasized. What was emphasized for me is the people gave exactly what they could. Every man, every woman, there was a willingness. There was a stirred up heart to follow Moses, who was giving them directly from God. You know, again, I'm not Moses. Please don't think that's what I'm trying to say. But what I am trying to say is, when we hear the Word of God at Anchor Baptist Church, whether it's the pastor, whether it's the assistant pastor, missionaries, we have men that preach the Word of God, which is the only people we have preached the Word of God here. We love you ladies, and we need you to help us many times in teaching and things of this nature, but we believe that men are to lead the church in that fashion and to preach in this way, or to be the pastor, assistant pastor, and so forth. I guess women can preach to women, if you want to call it that. But anyway, the point is this. They had to be willing to follow what God's man said God had told him. Now today, isn't it interesting? Today, you don't have to necessarily wonder if what I'm telling you, we try to keep it this way because it's the best way, is from God, right? It's called line upon line, precept upon precept preaching. That's what we try to do here. Now, sometimes we may apply it. I may apply it, or Brother Nathan, Pastor Nathan, or someone else may make an application from it, and we're not going to destroy the text when we do that, but sometimes there's an application that may differ from one preacher to the next. But what I'm trying to say is here that there was God's Word, which we have today. Then there was God's man, which we have today. And then there was a willing heart. There was a stirred up spirit. And I pray that we have that today too. Okay? Notice again, let's go back to verses 30 to 35. In verse chapter 35, it's really a two-part message, Old Testament, New Testament, all right? So stay with me. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. To devise curious works. You know, who's going to work with all this gold that's coming in? Who's going to work? Who's going to help do the building part of this thing? to work in gold, silver, brass. Here's somebody that knows how to cut stones, to set them, carving of the wood, carpenter, to make any manner of cunning work. Notice this, verse 34. He hath put it in his heart that he may, what's the next word? Teach. Teach. Both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver, of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. In other words, here it is. God raised up some people here, specifically. He raised up Bezalel. He raised up Aholiab, yes, and these other gentlemen here that were craftsmen, if you will. And they were, in verse 34, they were to teach others to do the very same thing. They were to take what God had given them, and then they were to impart that to other people. God has continued to give what we call gifts to the family of God, to His children. And I'm not talking about salvation, although that is a precious gift. It cannot be earned. It can only be received by faith. It's the greatest gift. But God has continued to give gifts to the local church. Those gifts are in the form of the people that are saved are then given what we call spiritual gifts. Okay? So as we think in context, let's think about this. All of what these people had, the children of Israel had in verse 35, Moses said, let's review quickly. Moses said, okay, let's get everybody together. Everybody together. I need everybody. I need men, women, children. I need everybody together. I've got a message from God. God says He wants us to build Him a sanctuary. God says He wants us to build Him a house. A house that He can dwell in our behalf in, while we travel. God, again, this is not the church, but we can use it as a type, okay? God wants us to build Him a sanctuary. And in this sanctuary, we need this, and he lists the whole thing. And he says, now, you're going to be the ones who are going to help build the sanctuary. You're going to be the ones to provide the offering. You're going to be the ones to provide the manpower. We got Mr. Aholiab over here, and we got Mr. Bezalel over here, and they're going to help train, and they're going to help do the work, and we're going to get this thing built. Now, notice, look what happens. Look what happens. Look at verse 3 of chapter 36. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Again, there was no coercion. It was of a free will. There was a want to. Their hearts were stirred. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, all right, they've been working hard, building. The people bring much more than enough. We got too much goat's hair over here. We got too much gold for the work, for the service of the work. Verse 6. And Moses gave commandment. And they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work. In other words, stop what you're doing for the sanctuary. The Bible says, so the people were restrained from bringing. They had too much. Verse 7, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it. And I've underlined these words in my Bible. Too much. What a miracle. What a miracle. And by the way, I look at this and I think, you know, God has given so much to Anchor Baptist Church for the last 20 years. And God, I have seen, not just in this church, but in previous churches that I've attended as a teenager, I remember over and over and over God doing miraculous things at the Berean Baptist Church in Adrian, Michigan. And God doing mighty works in the missions program there. And God doing mighty works through the church there and revival meetings there. And I remember years ago when we had a team come in, they did a competition with the teenagers, and we had public school kids coming from all over Lenawee County. And it was, I think it was Army versus Marines or something like that. And it was called The War. It was an outreach competition. And I remember kids getting saved, and I remember things going on. I could tell you over and over again, all the things that God has done. And then I think of the church that I grew up in Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and on it goes. And I'm just saying here tonight, as we get into the meat of the message, with this as the groundwork, can you imagine there coming a day when someone stands up in the church that you're a part of and says, stop bringing stuff? And I'm not talking about money, although I am. I'm not talking about finances, although that could be it. Or, in this case, they say, we don't need any more help. We have too many people to help. We have too many laborers. Go home and we'll call you when we need you. Can you imagine that happening? I must say that I don't know if it's ever happened. I think there's been a few occasions where, even at Anchor Baptist Church, we've had every need met that we had for laborers. You know, just a few weeks ago, praise God, just a couple weeks ago now, we had a good number of people here scrubbing and dusting and all of that. And we praise God for that. I want to challenge us today, though, in this area of, are we stirred up to serve? I want you to go with me now for the second half of the message to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This is one of the texts of Scripture in the New Testament where we see the spiritual gifts that God has given to His children. Why does God give spiritual gifts to His children? They are not so that we can put them in our pocket, pull them out every once in a while, and polish them off and say, this is the gifts that I have, and put them back in our pocket. The gifts that God has given us as children, if you're saved today, by the way, if you're saved and you're listening to me and you're hearing this right now, I want to tell you, God has given you at least one, if not more, what we call spiritual gifts. And they have been given to you, they have been given to me by God to be used within the local church that we are a member of. That you're a member of. By the way, church membership is very important. Interesting how we said that in the first meeting, and I had someone text me this afternoon and say, how would I become a member right now of Anchor Baptist Church? Praise God. Praise God for that. This individual is planning on moving into the Lower Mainland within the next week. I've been in contact with this individual over the last couple of weeks. I didn't realize they were going to be moving so soon. But they're planning on moving to the Vancouver area. They've been following our meetings online. They were following Baptist Friends in North Bay as well. There's actually a North Bay, kind of a remotely a North Bay connection to this gentleman. And after the service today, I looked at my phone, and there was a text message from him. How would I join the church in this, like right now, how would I do that? Praise the Lord. God has given you and God has given me different gifts to be used. Someone else talked to me today, or earlier today as well, about taking the video of the of Brother Caleb Garraway. And by the way, get that thing and share it on your social media. Let's put that movie all over, that gospel presentation. It's kind of like a mini movie. Let's put it all over. Send it on your email list. Send it wherever. Get it out there. And it is a very powerful message. But I had someone talk to me today from Anchor Baptist Church that said this. I want to translate that into my language. And I wanted to talk to you first, Pastor, because I'd like to talk to this person, and this person who also speaks that language and English. And we want to translate. I believe God laid it on my heart that we want to translate that into the language that I speak so that those names can come up on the video. I don't know how that works, but somehow you can maybe put it on there so that you can read it in that language as even Brother Garraway is still speaking. I don't know how that works. I'm just saying, praise God for that. I think a lot of times we look at a church and we say, I could never be the pastor, so I can't do anything. Wrong. I could never lead a meeting. Wrong. Don't think like that. Look, God told the nation of Israel, I need everything. And I'm not saying this to be unkind. The goat's hair was as important as the gold. Because it was from whose heart was it coming from? Look, when they got down to kneading the goat's hair to tie up whatever they were tying up with that stuff, and it wasn't there, something wouldn't be able to be finished. Everything is important in God's word. Everything is important when God does something. And everything is important in the local church. Every member is important. Romans chapter 12, verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members, notice, all members have not the same what? Office. Anchor Baptist Church is made up, I think right now we have about 65 members. Everyone is important. Not everyone has the same gifts. Verse 5. So we, being many, are what? One body, but don't miss the next statement, in who? Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Anchor Baptist Church is one body, many members, one body in Christ. We are not a country club. We are in Christ. We are not just simply an education. We are not simply a charity, although we are. We are in Christ. We are a local, called out assembly of born-again, baptized believers, determined with God's help to fulfill the Great Commission, determined with God's help to teach and train the next generation in the things of the Lord. But we need every member, we need everyone who is a part of this body to do the part that God saved them to do. We being many are one in Christ. And everyone members one of another. Okay, notice this next statement, verse 6. Having then gifts, all right, there's the word. You want to circle that or underline it? Having then gifts. So it is an understood statement. The theme of this passage of Scripture is the church and members and together. But we all have gifts, but notice what it says, differing. Differing. Your gifts may not be my gifts, and vice versa. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So, these gifts are given by God's grace. Just like your salvation. Everything. It isn't in us. This isn't my gift. It's a gift from God. By grace. All right, let's look at these. See how far we can get in this. Didn't plan on taking that much time on the first half. Having then gifts, well, my speech is really having trouble today. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy. This is the first gift. So if you're going to write some of these down, go ahead and do that at this time. Prophecy, verse number 6, prophecy. Every saved man or woman has a gift. Let me just review. And the gift is to be used within the body of believers we call the church. We are not machines. I missed some of this. Let me just go over this before we get into prophecy. We are not machines. We are members of a living body. You and I are members of a living body. God's church is alive. It will never die. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus Christ is our head. We are his servants. We are part of his body. And we are advancing forward for the cause of Christ. And we need every one of us saying, what is it, God, what wilt thou have me to do with the gift that you've given me? Now, many people may not even know what their gift is. Many do, though. Let's explain what they are. And maybe one of these might sound like something that And I don't believe God gives you a gift of something that you just, it just is totally way against or away from who you are. God has made you in a certain way and then equipped you with the gift when you got saved that goes right along with who you are. Look at verse number 6, prophecy. What is this? What is this word prophecy talking about? Let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. This word prophecy is not talking about a telling of things in the future. This is not talking about standing up and predicting the future, because we don't need to stand up and predict the future. We have the future. It's right here in the book of the Revelation. It's in Daniel. It's in maybe Ezekiel. And there are passages of so. It's not telling something that we've already been given, foretelling. Now, that's different from the Old Testament, okay? Because remember, they did not have the book, the books of the Bible like we do, or the finished scripture like we do, the canon of scripture like we have. Many of them, it was God speaking to a Jeremiah, or it was God speaking to an Isaiah, or on and on it goes. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? And so in that case, they were telling what was coming in the future. They were foretelling. We don't need that anymore. Why? Because we already have the finished book. We already have the finished word of God. So what is this? This is a foretelling. This is a foretelling. What do you mean, Pastor? It means preaching God's message. Everyone has a gift. You say, that's definitely not my gift. That may be the case. Maybe that's not your gift, preaching the word of God. It's ministering the word of God. And I'm not going into heavy detail, or we'll be way too long in this meeting. I'm just giving you a little bit of a snippet about these, okay? But there are people, I will say this, and being someone who has the gift of prophecy doesn't mean they're the pastor. You say, oh, you and Pastor Nathan are the only ones that have that one. No, that's not true. In fact, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe, and there's something that I'm praying, and I won't say too much about it right now, but there's something I'm praying. I've shared a little bit about it with Pastor Nathan, but there's something I'm praying with regards to the men of Anchor Baptist Church and preaching. I'll just say that, okay? Don't change your cell phone number, guys. These are not to be coerced, though. Remember? I think we go back to the Old Testament and we say that there was a willingness. But just because you think, oh, I could never stand up and preach, doesn't mean you don't have the gift. Because remember, it's not about you or me being able to do it. The gifts are from the Holy Spirit of God. And it may be something that you have, men, it may be something that you have in you, a gift of God that has never been exercised. Do you know what happens when you exercise for the first time in a long time? Here's what happens. There are certain parts of your body that let you know they haven't been used in a long time. What was I doing? Oh, painting. That's right. Forgot already what I was doing. You know, all this painting over here, I'm glad to do it. But you know what? I haven't moved my arm in that way. I haven't held a brush or a roller or a pole or any of that. I haven't done a lot of that. And, you know, after a couple of days, there were muscles in this shoulder, in this wrist, that said, what's going on here? Why are you using me? I've enjoyed the comforts of just sitting in here, right? What I'm saying is, the gifts that God has given you, if they've never, number one, if they've never been exercised, then they're even more hidden in that respect. But if they haven't been exercised recently, prophecy. All right, let's keep going. Verse 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. What is this one? Ministering. Ministering is any act of service. Any act of service. This gift can be exercised in many different ways. Could be like, for instance, it could be cleaning the church. Again, we don't have a full church building, but we have the most square footage that we've ever had in 20 years. And I thank many of you that have helped in that way. It could be cooking a meal for a new mother. And again, I'm not saying that we haven't had this. I'm just saying, here's some ideas. You know, some of you ladies, you really like to cook. You know, you realize this? God takes that and uses it as a gift for His glory to be an encouragement to someone. And I understand right now things are a little bit not hunky-dory about, you know, my kitchen cooking something and giving it to you. I understand that. I'm not trying to, you know, cause any trouble with that. But making cookies for RU, it's an act of service. Just buying cookies for RU. Running errands for someone. I'm talking about within the local church. Pastor Nathan, I've got an hour. Is there anything I could help you with? You see, folks, the gift of ministry, or some places it's called the gift of helps, right? I'm saying this with the utmost kindness. There is really, in a sense, there is no qualifications. But it does tend to be, though, that there are people that have more of this than others. And I'm not saying that means they're more important. Remember, goat's hair to gold, all important. You'll be picking up garbage at the church. Sure, I'll pick the garbage up once a week. Sure, I'll pick the garbage up once every couple of weeks. Ministering. You know what it might be? It might be something no one knows about. These are all things that people will know about eventually that I just listed. But there could be an act of service that you just do for someone that no one ever knows about it, except maybe that person and maybe not even that person. The gift of ministry. How about verse 7? Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth. Exhorteth. We have the gift of teaching. Verse number 7, gift of teaching. Again, this is not only limited to people that have some kind of a diploma that says, I'm a teacher. You don't have to be educated to be a teacher. This is a gift of God. This is a gift of the Spirit. This is a spiritual gift. We need more teachers. And it's not only teaching the things of God, although we're emphasizing the local church. How about exhortation? Exhortation is from the Greek word paraklesis. It's a calling near or for. The word exhortation means comfort. One meaning. It's kind of basically that's in a sense someone that has a, and I hope you understand and I hope you take this right, someone that has a good bedside manner, an encourager, a calling near or for, a comforter. Are you someone that is quickly willing to give comfort? Could be a gift of the Spirit that God has given you, of which we need in every church. People have gone through amazing things in this last 10 months. And I know many of you have reached out to others and you've sent those cards and all of that. But remember, everyone doing his or her part. Verse 8. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that giveth. Some, God has given the gift of making money. I mean that seriously. God has given the gift of help, of making money, whether it be in a job or whatever it may be. Some have the gift of spending it. That would be me. All right. No, I'm just kidding. That was not in the notes there. It was in the notes, but it's not in the Greek, all right? This is to be used for the Lord and His kingdom. Again, I don't have any money. Does it mean I don't have the gift of giving? Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people don't have money. And one of those is because they're not wise with the money that God's given them. I really believe that we could do a lot more in the area of our giving if we took care of our finances a little bit better. And again, that's not the message, okay? He that giveth. Notice this one, verse number 8, another one. He that exhorteth, giveth. He that ruleth with diligence. What is this one? This is talking about the gift of leadership. Or some other places, the gift of administration. And you say, Pastor Turner, that's not me. I'll come and I'll do the, I'm more in the ministering, I'm more in the gift of helps. You just tell me what to do. Fine. We need everyone. Somebody's got to know how to put things in order. Somebody's got to know how to organize it. And I'm going to tell you this. I know we have a lot more people in Anchor Baptist Church with the gift of diligence than have ever let it be known. Why did God give you that gift? Why did God give you those abilities to organize? It wasn't for just your business. It was for the church. It was for the local assembly. Yeah, in addition to that, God has helped you to organize a company. God has helped you to organize a business that you work in. God has equipped you to organize this or that or whatever it may be. Great, that's wonderful. And that's a double blessing, I guess. But the purpose of it wasn't necessarily just for that. It was for the local church. Then we have in verse 8, he that showeth mercy. That showeth mercy, the gift of mercy. What is the gift of mercy? Performing acts of kindness. Performing acts of kindness. And someone who's constantly encouraging the discouraged. You're writing that note to, I'm not saying our seniors are discouraged, but you're writing that note to a senior. You're writing that note to someone, in this case, many someones you haven't seen in a long time. This is just a very quick overview of the gifts of the Spirit as mentioned in Romans chapter 12. But I bring these to our attention because when I was reading in my Bible recently in this Old Testament passage, I couldn't help but think about in 2021 and the great need that the church has in 2021. What is the great need? The great need that we have, obviously, is to honor the Lord. Yes, that is our first and foremost. We want to give God the glory. Whatever we do, whether therefore we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. But what is the greatest need? I would submit to you the greatest need is that every member be functioning. Be a functioning member. That every member would be exercising his or her spiritual gift. As an under-shepherd, that is my prayer. When's the last time you exercised your spiritual gift? I don't mean to be harsh. I don't mean to be unkind. And I want to read this next statement. Would you please listen to it carefully? Far too many Christians that are a part of Anchor Baptist Church are not functioning within the body. Say, who is it? I have no idea. They are not exercising their spiritual gifts to the glory of God and the ministry of God. I say that from a loving heart, but I say that as an under-shepherd, I say that with great conviction. We as the body are one in Christ. We need every part exercising. And again, we can't continue to make excuses. Right now, there's a big one, you might say. No, I disagree. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says we're not to exercise our spiritual gifts during a pandemic or a plandemic, either one. I don't see that in the Bible. There's still a way for us to exercise our spiritual gifts not be with each other all the time. It's not possible right now. I get that. We're doing our best with that. But that gives us no excuse to not practice the spiritual gifts or to exercise, the spiritual gifts that God has given us. God saw all of this coming. There's no exceptions to this. God has equipped you, and this is simply that. It's just an excuse. Look, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. What part? What are you doing within the anchor? I'm talking to the church members right now. How are you exercising your spiritual gift? It's time that we as the family of God don't have just 10 people exercising their spiritual gifts. And I'm not saying we have only that many. I think we have a lot more than that. But that we all look inwardly and say, God, what is it about me that I'm not exercising my spiritual gift? I've been sitting at home. I've been twiddling my thumbs. I've been watching the live stream. Maybe I've been giving, praying, tithing, doing all those things. Praise God. But what am I doing as a part of the one? Do you have any goats here? God says, just give me the goats here. Do you have any stones? Just give me the stones. You have the gold, bring the gold. It's not about what it is. We know you have something in a gift. We know you have it. I know you have one. I know I have them because the Bible tells me so. The thing is this. I can't give even my gift in my own strength. I need God's help. And God will help you. It's by faith. How did those gifts come? By grace. How did our salvation come? By grace. Oh, dear church, this is not meant to be negative at all. I am so thankful for the many, 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 many people that labor and serve and volunteer and help and encourage and strengthen and equip. And there may be many of you that we don't even know are doing it. God's keeping track. But I wonder how many of us, for the last 10 months, haven't used our spiritual gift one time. To me, that's a shame. That's a shame. And that's something we need to seek God's forgiveness for. Because I don't believe God gave me a gift to ever put it on a shelf and then pick it back up when it's more convenient. So I hope that you'll meditate on these thoughts this week. I hope that you'll be serious enough to talk to the Lord. You don't have to talk to me about it if you don't want to, but you ought to talk to the Lord about it. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness from the Lord. I think some of us know what our gifts are, and we're just not exercising. Hey, you know what you do? You get up, you say, okay, I'm starting anew and afresh. Don't cry over spilled milk, right? Just get up. Take care of it with the Lord and move forward. Look, we're not here holding up each other's, oh, this, that, and the other thing in the past. No, you know, we've got to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So just, be the little toe God saved you to be. Be the elbow God saved you to be. Be the chin God saved you to be. We're all one body in Christ. We need every member exercising. His